Chapter 3. What is God's purpose for the earth? What is God's purpose for mankind? How has God been challenged? What will life on earth be like in the future? Paragraph 1. Question. What is God's purpose for the earth? God's purpose for the earth is really wonderful. Jehovah wants the earth to be filled with happy, healthy people. The Bible says that Jehovah God planted a garden in Eden, and that He made to grow every tree that was pleasing to look at and good for food. Genesis 2, 8, 9, and 15. After God created the first man and woman, Adam and Eve, He put them in that lovely home and told them, "Be fruitful and become many, fill the earth and subdue it." Genesis 1:28. So it was God's purpose that humans have children, extend the boundaries of that garden home earth-wide, and take care of the animals. Paragraph 2. Question A. How do we know that God's purpose for the earth will be fulfilled? Question B. What does the Bible say about humans living forever? Do you think that Jehovah God's purpose for people to live in an earthly paradise will ever be realized? I have spoken, God declares, and I will also carry it out. Isaiah 46, 9-11. Yes, what God purposes, He will surely do. He says that He did not create the earth simply for nothing, but formed it to be inhabited. Isaiah 45, 18. What kind of people did God want to live on the earth, and for how long did He want them to live here? The Bible answers, "The righteous will possess the earth, and they will live forever on it." Psalm 37:29. Paragraph 3. Question. What sad conditions now exist on earth, and what questions does this raise? Obviously, this has not happened yet. People now get sick and die. They even fight and kill one another. Something went wrong. Surely, however, God did not purpose that the earth should be as we see it today. What happened? Why has God's purpose not been fulfilled? No history book written by man can tell us, because the trouble started in heaven. The origin of an enemy. Paragraphs 4 and 5. Question A. Who actually spoke to Eve by means of a serpent? Question B. How might a formerly decent, honest person become a thief? The first book of the Bible tells of an opposer of God who showed up in the Garden of Eden. He is described as the serpent, but he was not a mere animal. The last book of the Bible identifies him as the one called Devil and Satan, who is misleading the entire inhabited earth. He is also called the original serpent, Revelation 12:9. This powerful angel or invisible spirit creature used a serpent to speak to Eve, even as a skilled person can make it seem that his voice is coming from a nearby doll or dummy. That spirit person had no doubt been present when God prepared the earth for humans. Since all of Jehovah's creations are perfect, however, who made this devil, this Satan? Put simply, one of the powerful spirit sons of God turned himself into the devil. How is this possible? Well, today a person who was once decent and honest may become a thief. How does that happen? The person may allow a wrong desire to develop in his heart. If he keeps thinking about it, that wrong desire may become very strong. Then, if the opportunity presents itself, he may act upon the bad desire that he has been thinking about. James 1:13-15 reads, "When under trial, let no one say, 'I am being tried by God.' For with evil things God cannot be tried, nor does He Himself try anyone. But each one is tried by being drawn out and enticed by his own desire. Then the desire, when it has become fertile, gives birth to sin. In turn, sin, when it has been carried out, brings forth death. Paragraph 6. Question. How did a powerful spirit son of God become Satan the devil? This happened in the case of Satan the devil. He apparently heard God tell Adam and Eve to have children and to fill the earth with their offspring. Why, all these humans could worship me rather than God, Satan evidently thought. So a wrong desire built up in his heart. Eventually, he took action to deceive Eve by telling her lies about God. Genesis 3:1-5 reads, Now the serpent was the most cautious of all the wild animals of the field that Jehovah God had made. So it said to the woman, Did God really say that you must not eat from every tree of the garden? At this the woman said to the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but God has said about the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, You must not eat from it. No, you must not touch it, otherwise you will die. At this the serpent said to the woman, You certainly will not die. For God knows that in the very day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and bad. He thus became a devil, which means slanderer. At the same time, he became Satan, which means opposer. Paragraph 7, Question A. Why did Adam and Eve die? Question B. Why do all of Adam's offspring grow old and die? By using lies and trickery, Satan the devil caused Adam and Eve to disobey God. As a result, they eventually died, as God had said they would if they disobeyed. Since Adam became imperfect when he sinned, all his offspring inherited sin from him. Romans 5:12 reads, That is why, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because they had all sinned. The situation might be illustrated with a pan used for baking bread. If the pan has a dent in it, what happens to each loaf of bread made in the pan? Each loaf has a dent or an imperfection in it. Similarly, each human has inherited a dent of imperfection from Adam. That is why all humans grow old and die. Paragraphs 8 and 9. Question A. What challenge did Satan evidently make? Question B. Why did God not destroy the rebels immediately? When Satan led Adam and Eve into sinning against God, he was really leading a rebellion. He was challenging Jehovah's way of ruling. In effect, Satan was saying, God is a bad ruler. He tells lies and holds back good things from his subjects. Humans do not need to have God ruling over them. They can decide for themselves what is good and what is bad, and they will be better off under my rulership. How would God handle such an insulting challenge? Some think that God should simply have put the rebels to death. But would that have answered Satan's challenge? Would it have proved that God's way of ruling is right? Jehovah's perfect sense of justice would not allow him to put the rebels to death right away. He decided that time was needed to answer Satan's challenge in a satisfying way, and to prove that the devil is a liar. So God determined that he would permit humans to rule themselves for some time under Satan's influence. Why Jehovah did that, and why he has allowed so much time to pass before settling these issues, will be discussed in chapter 11 of this book. Now, though, it is good to think about this. Were Adam and Eve right to believe Satan, who had never done anything good for them? Was it right for them to believe that Jehovah, who had given them everything they had, is a cruel liar? What would you have done? Paragraph 10. Question. How can you support Jehovah's side in answer to Satan's challenge? It is good to think about these questions because each of us faces similar issues today. Yes, you have the opportunity to support Jehovah's side in answer to Satan's challenge. You can accept Jehovah as your ruler and help to show that Satan is a liar. Proverbs 27:11 reads, "Be wise, my son, and make my heart rejoice, so that I can make a reply to him who taunts me." Sadly, only a few among the billions of people in this world make such a choice. This raises an important question. Does the Bible really teach that Satan rules this world? Who rules this world? Paragraphs 11 and 12. Question A. How does a temptation of Jesus reveal that Satan is the ruler of this world? Question B. What else proves that Satan is the ruler of this world? Jesus never doubted that Satan is the ruler of this world. In some miraculous way, Satan once showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Satan then promised Jesus, "All these things I will give you if you fall down and do an act of worship to me." Matthew 4, 8 and 9. Think about this. Would that offer have been a temptation to Jesus if Satan was not the ruler of these kingdoms? Jesus did not deny that all these worldly governments were Satan's. Surely Jesus would have done that if Satan was not the power behind them. Of course, Jehovah is the Almighty God, the creator of the marvelous universe. Yet nowhere does the Bible say that either Jehovah God or Jesus Christ is ruler of this world. In fact, Jesus specifically referred to Satan as the ruler of this world. John 12:31. The Bible even refers to Satan the devil as the god of this system of things. 2 Corinthians 4:3 and 4. Regarding this opposer, or Satan, the Christian apostle John wrote, "The whole world is lying in the power of the wicked one." 1 John 5:19. How Satan's world will be removed. Paragraph 13. Question: Why is there a need for a new world? With each passing year, the world is becoming more and more dangerous. It is overrun with warring armies, dishonest politicians, hypocritical religious leaders, and hardened criminals. The world as a whole is beyond reform. The Bible reveals that the time is near when God will eliminate the wicked world during his war of Armageddon. This will make way for a righteous new world. Paragraph 14. Question: Whom has God selected to be ruler of his kingdom, and how was this foretold? Jehovah God selected Jesus Christ to be ruler of his heavenly kingdom or government. Long ago the Bible foretold, "A child has been born to us, a son has been given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulder. His name will be called Prince of Peace. To the increase of his government and to peace there will be no end." Isaiah 9, 6 and 7, and footnote. Regarding this government, Jesus taught his followers to pray, "Let your kingdom come. Let your will take place, as in heaven, also on earth." Matthew 6:10. As we will see later in this book, God's kingdom will soon remove all the governments of this world, and it itself will replace all of them. Daniel 2:44 reads, "In the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, and this kingdom will not be passed on to any other people. It will crush and put an end to all these kingdoms, and it alone will stand forever." Then God's kingdom will usher in an earthly paradise. A new world is at hand. Paragraph 15. Question: What is the new earth? The Bible assures us, "There are new heavens and a new earth that we are awaiting according to God's promise, and in these righteousness is to dwell." 2 Peter 3:13. Sometimes when the Bible speaks of the earth, it means the people who live on the earth. So the righteous new earth is a society of people who receive God's approval. Paragraph 16. Question: What is a priceless gift from God to those whom He approves, and what must we do to receive it? Jesus promised that in the coming new world, those approved by God would receive the gift of everlasting life. Please open your Bible to John 3:16 and 17:3 and read what Jesus said we must do to receive everlasting life. Now consider from the Bible the blessings that will be enjoyed by those who qualify for that wonderful gift from God in the coming earthly paradise. Paragraph 17 and 18. Question: How can we be sure that there will be peace and security everywhere on earth? Wickedness, warfare, crime, and violence will be gone. The wicked will be no more, but the meek will possess the earth. Psalm 37:10 and 11. Peace will exist because God will bring an end to wars throughout the earth. Then the righteous will flourish, and peace will abound until the moon is no more, and that means forever. Psalm 72:7. Jehovah's worshipers will live in security. As long as the Israelites in Bible times obeyed God, they lived in security. How wonderful it will be to enjoy similar security in paradise. Isaiah 32:18 reads, "My people will dwell in a peaceful abiding place, in secure dwellings, and in tranquil resting places." Paragraph 19. Question: Why do we know that food will be abundant in God's new world? Food shortages will not exist. There will be an abundance of grain on the earth, sang the psalmist. On the top of the mountains it will overflow. Psalm 72:16. Jehovah God will bless His righteous ones, and the earth will give its produce. Psalm 67:6. Paragraph 20. Question: Why can we be sure that the whole earth will become a paradise? The whole earth will become a paradise. Lovely new homes and gardens will occupy land that had once been ruined by sinful humans. Isaiah 65:21 through 24 reads, "They will build houses and live in them, and they will plant vineyards and eat their fruitage. They will not build for someone else to inhabit, nor will they plant for others to eat. For the days of my people will be like the days of a tree, and the work of their hands my chosen ones will enjoy to the full. They will not toil for nothing, nor will they bear children for distress, because they are the offspring made up of those blessed by Jehovah, and their descendants with them. Even before they call out, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear." As time passes, parts of the earth already subdued will expand until the whole globe is as beautiful and productive as the Garden of Eden. And God will never fail to open His hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. Psalm 145, 16. Paragraph 21. Question: What shows that peace will exist between humans and animals? There will be peace between humans and animals. Wild and domestic animals will feed together. Even a little child will have nothing to fear from animals that are now dangerous. Isaiah 11:6 through 9 reads, "The wolf will reside for a while with the lamb, and with the young goat the leopard will lie down, and the calf and the lion and the fattened animal will all be together, and a little boy will lead them. The cow and the bear will feed together, and their young will lie down together. The lion will eat straw like the bull. The nursing child will play over the lair of a cobra, and a weaned child will put his hand over the den of a poisonous snake. They will not cause any harm or any ruin in all my holy mountain, because the earth will certainly be filled with the knowledge of Jehovah as the waters cover the sea." Paragraph 22. Question: What will happen to sickness? Sickness will vanish. As ruler of God's heavenly kingdom, Jesus will do healing on a far grander scale than when he was on earth. Then no resident will say, "I am sick." Isaiah 33:24. Paragraph 23. Question. Why will the resurrection bring joy to our hearts? Dead loved ones will be restored to life with the prospect of never dying. All those sleeping in death who are in God's memory will be brought back to life. In fact, there is going to be a resurrection of both the righteous and the unrighteous. Acts 24:15. John 5:28-29 reads, "Do not be amazed at this, for the hour is coming in which all those in the memorial tombs will hear his voice and come out, those who did good things to a resurrection of life, and those who practiced vile things to a resurrection of judgment." Paragraph 24. Question. How do you feel about living in paradise on earth? What a marvelous future awaits those who choose to learn about our grand Creator, Jehovah God, and to serve Him. It was to the coming paradise on earth that Jesus pointed when He promised the criminal who died alongside Him, "You will be with me in paradise." Luke 23:43. It is vital that we learn more about Jesus Christ, through whom all these blessings will be made possible. What the Bible teaches. God's purpose to make the earth a paradise will be fulfilled. Isaiah 45:18 and 55:11. Satan now rules this world. John 12:31 and 1 John 5:19. In the coming new world, God will bestow many blessings on mankind. Psalm 37:10, 11, and 29.